not blink, or you run the risk of missing the fastest hour in hockey. Welcome to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. I'm Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and David Sisboombaugh is back. We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. If you don't get us live, download us at any time you want. And remember, especially today, text us at 590-590, and we'll get them on air.
Today's the day your text will probably get read.
Oh, they'll make it.
We do not have content for the back half. We need you today.
We do. Just the one guest today, but, you know, he's like the main event, right?
Yeah.
You don't have a warm-up band. You just go right to Off the Rails Friday with Doug McLean, and then we say go. He talks for 20 minutes, and then we come back. That's the way it works.
He's the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. This is his amphitheater here.
Yeah. But I love listening to you when I'm on.
Plenty to get into in this conference final. And of note, remember, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. As Sammy always...
What a host.
Makes
Great
sure
job.
You don't miss a trick.
You look nice today.
In. I do. You know, I felt like on occasion, I put the blazer on early in the playoffs for our Leaf edition, but I'm going Oilers tonight. I'm going blue Oilers on the blazer in hopes that, I can push some energy there.
Good. That's good. We need the Oilers. I think we need to become the Oilers hour here.
Jesus.
Yeah. Is that hard for you?
Nah. I think I've made my thoughts very clear on other teams winning the cup.
Misery loves company. That's what you care, right? You're miserable as a Leaf fan.
No.
So let's make everybody else miserable.
Mr. Kyprios, let me finish. I think that the new Canadian gold standard for hockey is Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. And I like when the Canadian greats get their deserved cup. Mm-hmm. And Connor McDavid is at the point of his career, at the trajectory where this usually happens for these kind of guys. And I want to see him get it. I do.
Okay.
But...
I don't want to hear a
butt.
Good lord.
Huge butt.
Yeah. Good lord, are Oilers fans going to be annoying if they do win it? And there's part of me that, this is the thing, there's part of me that really thinks that like 80% of it for them will be, we won the cup. What a moment. Our parade in our beautiful city of Edmonton, we're loving life. 20% of it will be like, we got it before the Leafs did. There will be like, there's a huge,
but they can go to the 80s and say that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Nothing new there.
Anyways.
Nothing
new
there.
It's a whole new era of fans have never seen them win anything.
Before we get to Doug, we have to talk about your kit today. Who are you wearing today?
Oh, this old thing?
What is going on there?
Oh, this old thing. Yeah, it's pretty nice. Yeah, I was at the City Connect launch party last night, boys.
I did catch that on Sportsnet Central. Like, we've seen jerseys before.
I know. This is how I feel.
Like, we're going to throw, like, a $500,000 party.
Hasn't there been a million jerseys?
For that jersey?
It was so good, and I'm so glad they did. Kipper, this is the type of place you thrive in. Like, there's just big stars, and it's on the rooftop on King Street West. This is your kind of beanery, not mine. But...
doesn't seem like a kid place to me.
No, he would have fit right in. A lot of, like, guys in suits looking important.
I just don't think he would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, he would have enjoyed it.
So what is that?
It was an open bar. He would have enjoyed it.
What is it you're wearing right now? Is that the third jersey?
Yeah, it's the City Connect jersey. The Nike does them for all the different teams. So they have, you know, everybody's, and this is the first time the Jays have had one. I think they started 2 years ago, maybe, or 3 years ago they've started doing them. This is the first time the Jays have done it. So it's like inspired by like a blackout thing. They gave me a whole brochure. I'm butchering it. But I love the jersey, and I thought I'd wear it today just to show my appreciation for the invite.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh, rude.
Well, first of all, it's a skyline of Toronto that's unrealistic.
So, Kimmy, no, it would just have to say baseball in black and white, and Kipper will be like, that's a good jersey. That's what I like.
If that was a true showing of the skyline of Toronto, I would be able to see potholes. Traffic, construction site that says down to one lane.
Yeah. I went on with my boys Ennis and Gunner in the morning today, and Ben had a great point. He said that the red's inspired by brake lights. So,
a joke.
So if there's anything to cheer for this season, it's new jerseys and cup holders.
There you go.
I mean, and leg room. As a 6'5 guy at the park, the leg room is spectacular.
So it's not... It's not a bad year for the Jays.
I met Jose Bautista last night, boys. I never ask anyone for a picture, and I saw him walking up, and I just stopped him in his tracks.
Debbie doesn't complain about the refs till he does. Doesn't ask for pictures till he does.
Never ever do pictures with anyone. I said, "Hey, Jose, would you mind taking a picture with me?" And he couldn't have been nicer, but he said, "Absolutely, no problem." Dap me up after, and away we went. It was a real thrill.
And one of my heroes. The other way.
One of my sports heroes. I love the guy. So there you go.
Would you, if you didn't know our next guest, would you race up to him and ask for a picture?
No.
Fun fact.
Not with Doug McLean?
Fun fact with Doug, I saw him walking to the CBC building when I was leaving it, and I shook his hand and said, I love your work on Hockey Central. I don't know if he remembers that, but...
Doug, you remember that for sure. Did you not? That's Justin Bourne, not Jason.
Jason or Justin, whatever your name is.
I thought he worked in Schitt's Creek. I didn't know who the hell he was. Listen, I thought, I remember when we first started, we had Fabro and he was a groupie, but this McKee guy has taken groupiness to a whole new level.
Fabro's our boss.
Looks comfy today. I'm excited.
So how's the view of the conference final from Summerside PEI?
You know, I've kind of enjoyed it. I just find it's a little bit, you know, with the Florida Rangers series, it's too dominating. You know, the Rangers have not, you know, it was almost a little reminiscent of Tampa Bay, Florida, where they weren't even in the series. They haven't really been, I know the games have been close, but they're not in the series. They're not in it. I mean, Shesterkin has held them in it, and I think Florida's dominated.
And they have, but do you feel like because of Shesterkin, like the Rangers are kind of hanging around enough that this thing's not over, or is this just a walk for you?
Well, you know what? Yeah, I guess you could say that, but when the Panthers have to turn it up a notch, they seem to turn it up, you know? And
yeah.
I'm thinking back to the Jersey Rangers series last year where all these guys were no-shows against New Jersey and it cost Gerard Gallant his job. I'm telling you, it's so reminiscent. And if you don't have – I love Barkov's comment yesterday or today where he said, our foundation is team defense. Mm-hmm. This is your superstar. This is one of the great two-way players in the game, and he's saying – our foundation is team defense, and we all work towards that. And I'm thinking, you know, that's a leader. And the Rangers, right now, they're missing it. They're missing it. They haven't got leadership that even comes close to the Bennetts, the Tkachuks, and the Barkovs. Not close for me.
Game still on the line, empty net goal, and it's Bennett versus Zibanejad in the neutral zone, and Bennett just – ate him up.
Zibanejad tried to draw a penalty.
I don't know what he was doing, but it was reflective of the whole series in that sequence where he just said, "Hey, Mika,
I'm caught. It's only me back. I don't have Trouba behind me. Oops, what do I do?"
He said, "Mika,
it's my puck. It's my puck."
I thought Trocheck looked back at him and was like, "What was that?" Like I thought his teammates noticed that moment.
Yeah, and it's disappointing. Look. It doesn't really surprise me because I watched the Jersey series really close last year, and it was pathetic watching that series. I'm telling you, it was watching Panarin, Fox, and these guys play.
Crater's gone to another level though, and he scored another huge goal.
He had the hat trick against Carolina, but has he been a star in this?
No, they've struggled to that capacity. Yeah. Like they can't score more than two goals, Mac, against Bobrovsky. And as much attention as Shesterkin has gotten in this series for keeping the Rangers in, I don't know if people are appreciating Bobrovsky in this series as much as they should.
Well, yeah, he has been. Look, Shesterkin's been an absolute star. And Bobrovsky has been a star as well. Key saves, key times. And they're you know, there's real excitement in that Florida team because they're pretty close to being on the verge of winning the Stanley Cup, boys. I'm telling you. And I look at, you know, the addition of Tkachuk, the addition of Bennett, the addition of Montour. I mean, Forsland taking a major step and bringing Ekblad along with him. look, Bill Zito deserves some credit here, big time credit for putting this group together. And Dale Tallon brought in Bobrovsky, and Dale made, you know, the drafts of Burkov and a few guys. But Bill has taken this this group to another level, and he's done a good job as a GM, as a first-time GM. He really has. And yeah. Paul Maurice was a hire by Zito, and you know, Paul was coming off where he was wore out in Winnipeg and rejuvenated in Florida, you know. He's going to go from here. I hear he's going to take either Daly's spot, John Daly's spot, or Letterman's spot. I think he's going to take one or the other when he finishes. He's John in training Stewart? For it. John Stewart or Letterman. He's going to take one of their spots.
I think Letterman retired, or he's, I don't know.
He's got
coffee?
A show on Netflix now. It's enjoyable. Yeah.
Okay.
But listen, yeah. I know what's going on in Edmonton. I listen to Knobloch do his pressers, and I start to yawn halfway through. I think the players are so excited to get out of his meetings and get on the ice that they're so fired up to just fly down that alleyway and hit the ice because he is so
Mac,
reserved.
You don't have so to yell reserved. Like you or spit gum or even what Paul Maurice, when he goes, you know, I tomato know. Red behind the bench.
Is,
this guy's
he
new.
He is so...
It's the new way.
And he's brought a calmness to this. It's like the hypnotist. What was his name? Who was the hypnotist that we all used to... I forget his name. He was famous.
God.
He used to go to PEI every summer. He used to put us to sleep.
Sorry, I can't remember the name, Doug.
You remember the hypnotist from PEI?
I think it was
Racine. There can't be two of them in his defense.
You know, he used to do the high schools.
Ravine.
Dave Hypnotic. Was that it? So looking at the whole Edmonton Oilers situation right now going into tonight.
It is Peter J. Ravine. I got to say.
Peter J. Ravine.
There you go.
Ask him, did he get a picture of the A-frame?
I did.
Bugging me for a picture.
I did. I got the picture.
Did he get a picture?
I did. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Somebody told me it looks like the Kennedy compound in Hyannisport.
Oh, my gosh.
What are we talking about? The Oilers, yeah.
They
Oilers.
Lost me.
All right. Tonight,
off the rails.
Tonight, there's a large contest. What are your thoughts on where the Oilers are at? We've had lots of nurse conversations. You know, he bounced back and had a bit of a better effort after a slow start. Do you feel good about the Oilers winning two of the next three?
I do, you know, and look, I was joking about Knobloch, but he's really done a great job. And I tell you, he's made some really gutsy moves, you know, whether it's, you know, Skinner, taking Skinner out or putting the guys in, keeping Perry out for five games, putting Perry back in, you know, the McLeod. I think he's really done a terrific job and not being afraid to make big bold, not big moves, but bottom six moves, you know. So I really like what he's done. And I'm serious. He's brought a calmness to this group. They're pretty confident right now. Their depth has been the first time the Oilers have been even close to having enough depth. Henrik has helped that. Kenny Holland's done a good job bringing the depth in. I feel good. If Tanev is out, or if Tanev's only at 50%, it'll be a closer series. I think the depth of Dallas is being challenged right now.
Mac, also the fact that the older players on Dallas for me are not holding their own consistently enough for me, and that's where I think the window's open. And when you watch, it's Stankoven, you know, Wyatt Johnson, Robertson when he's putting it in the net. But, like, Pavelski has been a unbelievable player in his career.
Yeah.
But he is not having a Pavelski impact in this series yet.
No. And Jamie Benn has given it everything he's got. Sagan. But, I mean, these guys, they were the backbone of this team, and now it's moved to the new group. And Rupe Hintz, I remember us talking about Rupe Hintz 3 or 4 years ago when he was a third, fourth liner, and he's developed into a star. So the young guys have taken over this team, and
but they got to close this thing out.
Yeah,
the young guys have to close this series out for Dallas,
and that's asking a lot. That's asking what Edmonton used to have to do with their young guys closing it out. Now Edmonton's young guys have moved into another level. Imagine Chicago Blackhawks or San Jose Sharks sitting there saying, we're in a rebuild. What if we get Dreisaitl and Marner and start our rebuild with those two unrestricted free agents next year? Anyway.
Is Marner going to be a UFA? You going to UFA?
Oh, him and Dreisaitl will go to UFA, won't they? I mean, I've got to believe it. Well, they'll be traded, but they'll go to UFA, I would hope.
All right. That,
you really want to start that conversation now? Really?
I literally, in my brain, was like, are we going to do this here?
I think the German owner in San Jose will have some interest in Dreisaitl, maybe.
Leon's got to win, though, right? He's too competitive, isn't he, to just go to San Jose and...
Well, I mean, if he wins the cup this year, I mean, he's still got next year before he goes, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd like to see them either there or Chicago with Bedard. I mean, I'd like to see him in either place. You know?
Imagine you're an Oilers fan on the verge of Game Five of the conference final.
We have a lot of Oilers fans that watch our show, Max. Can you just cool it, please?
Yes.
And let them play tonight.
Him and Marner playing with Celebrini and Smith taking up the back. You know, coming on through the back end there, Will Smith, a nice looking group.
All right.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry to get off track. I got off track there.
You did a little bit. You want to stay in the conference final?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You know, I do think that this matchup tonight is, a lot of it hinges on the Chris Tanev injury. You see a lot of people talking about Tanev and he's a warrior and he always comes back. You know, I want to get your thoughts on players playing through injury. Is there a point where you're just too injured that there's selfishness involved? Is there a point you don't want guys to do it?
I'll tell you where it really becomes critical. When you're a guy that's dependent upon to go against the other team's best players. So Tanev not only has to come back from an injury, but he's got to be matched up against the best of the best. And that's a lot to ask. And Tanev, you know, nobody will ever question his heart and his character and his career. But that's a tall task when you're not 100%. And I know nobody's 100% this time of year. But when you're going against McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Hyman and company, that's a really tough task for this kid. I feel for him. You know?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, here's a UFA Mac coming up in Chris Tanev. And, you know, everything points to the direction that he will sign a lucrative contract still at his age, whether it's for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. But the number will be big. But, like, a German train right on time. We've had this conversation countless on especially Chris Tanev. Love him, but he gets hurt.
Oh, he does.
And if he's not available tonight or available to close this series, does that change whether you're thinking about re-signing him in either Toronto or Dallas again and how much you give him? And if it constantly comes true that this guy finds a way to get hurt, would that affect him if he doesn't finish the series?
There's a difference in being hurt. There's a difference in being hurt like Freddie, the goalie in Carolina, how he gets hurt, mm-hmm. or how Wall gets hurt, or how...
But unavailable is unavailable, Mac.
Unavailable is unavailable, but he gets hurt because he plays so hard, and maybe because he plays so reckless, and maybe he's got to take a little of that recklessness out of his game.
Yeah, that would make sense. Did you want to move away from the conference final now?
No, I'm good.
What are your thoughts, Doug? You just made a Marner crack earlier. Everyone in here talking about Berube and Marner having a meeting. Kip, I think you wrote.
Did you ever, when you coached me in Washington, did you ever take me for a coffee?
No, but Rod Langway used to take me for a dozen beer.
in between Game 3 and Game 4.
No, but I've told Nick this story about Rod Langway. I got some buddies up from PEI. We're on Crescent Street at 2:30 in the morning, having a little fun in Crescent Street, and I look through a haze of smoke on the dance floor. And I'm the assistant coach of the Washington Capitals. Nick was home in bed. And I see Rod out shuffling on the dance floor. and he sees me and he waves and we nod to each other. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm assistant coach. He's the captain. He's the superstar. What do I do? So he skates up to me in the morning skate the next morning, and he skates up and he said, "Hey, Mac." I said, "Hey, Rod, we got a little problem." He said, "Yeah, I won't tell if you don't tell."
Did you keep up your end of the bargain?
I didn't bother mentioning to Brian Murray till 10 years later that Rod and I had met at 3 in the morning.
Good move on your part.
Yeah.
Good move.
I survived. But no, look, a coffee shop. Look, I think it's great that Berube met up with Marner and you know, look, the guy's a 100-point guy. You've got to at least meet him and talk to him. And depending, like, how could you not want Marner on your team if you're Berube? Tell me that. How could you not want a 100-point guy and want to say to him, "I'm going to make you into something you're not right now. I'm going to help you become a star at playoff time." That's the approach that I'd be taking if I was if Ruby's talking to Marner. I'm going to take you to a whole nother level in your game.
Now, what did you write about this week?
I wrote that it's a really difficult trade if you're looking to shake up the team quickly. And I, for one, still think ultimately that the Leafs will not choose to sign him to an 8-year deal over $100 million by next July. Mm-hmm. I don't see that in the cards. I could be wrong, but it's going to take a while to get to that point where you actually think, what are the benefits of moving him now or renting him next season? That's my article this week.
Yeah, and I agreed with 100%. You can't win a Marner trade, guys. We thought Brad Treliving did okay with Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar. Mackenzie Weegar, whichever his name. I don't know which is his first name, which is his last name. My daughter's name is Mackenzie, so I get confused. But anyway, we thought that he came close to doing well on that deal until we saw Huberdeau without Barkov. And we found out that Huberdeau isn't as good without Barkov, not even close. And we saw what leadership does to Florida with Tkachuk. And it was a disastrous trade. Tough deal for I'm not blaming Treliving for the deal because he had no choice, because it was all a setup by the whole whoever manages Tkachuk, you know. Is it Newport? Is it his father? I don't know. But it was all orchestrated. I'm not stupid. So what happens with Marner? It's got to be that type of deal. And do you win those type of deals very often? No, you don't. So be careful.
Yeah, I don't think you win those deals ever. I don't know if that's possible. How do you feel about Treliving? Seeing how that shook out and then seeing Sam Bennett having the success he has, it feels like in both cases he had his hands tied a little bit, no?
Listen, I threw Beauchemin in on a deal with Anaheim because, you know, we talked to our staff and they said, you know, we don't see Beauchemin becoming a real NHL regular. We don't think he's really that type of guy. All of a sudden, he's a throw-in on a deal, goes to Anaheim, and they stick him with Rob Niedermeyer or Scott Niedermeyer. And Beauchemin looked like the second coming of who was Bobby Orr's
Rod Langway
in Boston, yeah. Except he didn't go to the bars as much. But look, Beauch became a Stanley Cup winner, and Beauch became a regular with Niedermeyer, you know. But anyway, I'm just saying the Marner deal is a really challenging deal, and Brad Treliving, I should say, he's got to be so careful on this one. This is a tough situation.
Just again, watching Bennett, and you know, on the surface, we can question Brad Treliving, going like, "What were you thinking? A second rounder, and I think another player that never developed for Sam Bennett." But to defend Tree just a tiny bit, he wasn't remotely the player in Calgary than he was in Florida now. So, Mac, as a general manager or a coach, where is the onus on, you know, you just didn't play this way when we had you, or we didn't find a way to develop you as well as we should have? Where is that line?
But was he not starting to become that player? Like he sort of lost the finesse part of his game where he was the top five pick. He lost a little of that finesse, but was he not becoming a battler in Calgary at
he
that
fought.
Time?
He battled, yeah. I think he did.
He started to become a battler. And I agree with you on that. He wasn't what he is today. But how is it that the minute he arrived in Florida, he became that player? He became that 200-foot, hard-nosed leader on that team. And that was before the Panthers became good. So, look, Trees had a rough go. He had to move Goudreau out because of the contract situation, the same as Marner. Now he's a 12-goal scorer in Columbus. So you feel okay about that one. But Bennett and these guys, oh, man, this kills you when you're watching this. And now he's got to deal with Marner.
Tough hand. Wow. Tough hand to play.
What would you do? What would you do if you're Tree Living? What do? You take him right to the very end and you hope that you can sign him? You're in the must-win now
Kip's
mode
walking him to
as
UFA
a leaf.
Here. This is the new thing we're doing?
I would love to sit down with Berube and say, what do you think we should do here? And
what do you think Berube's going to say?
Guy.
Keep the guy. Berube's, I don't want. What are two first rounders and a prospect going to do for me?
Yeah, Berube wants him. So that's probably part of your answer right there. I guarantee he wants him. And I'll tell you what I would do. I would do everything in my power to get John Tavares out of there. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a big challenge. So,
well, you know that's what?
That's a big challenge.
Hey, you were a bit of a prick to Todd Marchant.
was that a move to get him out of there?
He's the reason why there's no move clauses. You realize that, eh?
Doug did it?
Yeah.
Well, here's what happened. I traded Todd Marchant to Anaheim in a deal for Fedorov. It was Marchant, Tyler Wright, and Beauchemin for Fedorov, and I forget who else came back. But we even tried to even up the money is why we put the guys in there to make it so that it was pretty close. So Todd, I called Todd in to tell him he was traded, and he said, no, I'm not going. Anaheim's not on my trade list. And I said, oh, you're not going. He said, no. So I put him on waivers. He had a no trade. There was no such thing at that time as a no movement
clause.
Right,
right, right.
So I phoned Berkey. I said, Berkey, he won't report. I'm putting him on waivers. You claim him. He's at $3.5 million. Nobody else. You claim him. So I go through the waivers. The next day I'm sitting in the stands. The deal's done. All of a sudden, Berkey doesn't take Marchand. And Chris McFarland comes up in the stands and he says, Berkey didn't take Marchand. I said, he what? He didn't take Marchand? All of a sudden, I'm sitting on an extra $3.5 million. So I get on the phone with Berkey. I said, Berkey, remember? And he said, oh, we can't do this. Bill Daly's, they're sniffing around. They think we got something going on. I said, I'm just putting him on waivers, Berkey. So next day, Berkey claimed him. But I had some other calls on Marchand, too, which I talked to the league. I said, look, I'm getting calls on Marchand from, I don't know what's going, where he's going to go. So Berkey took him. So then that summer, the PA grieved the deal, or even at that time, they grieved the deal because, you know, they said of the no trade. But that's where that summer, the no movement clause came in. So.
Hey, your legacy on the league is gumming up the works.
Hey, with all due respect to Todd Marchant, he doesn't have the status of John Tavares. So, like,
no, he doesn't. I didn't. You said it. You're the one that brought it up.
But you said you try to push him out, and I'm like, he's got a no move. How uncomfortable do you have to make him?
No, I didn't say push him out. I said, try to work with them to make this a really good situation where we can put you somewhere that's going to be give you a chance to win a cup or prolong your career or something. Is there some way to talk to them? But like when you're not, I don't know. I mean, when guys aren't wanted, I mean, not that John Tavares isn't wanted. He's a hell of a player. He's a great player. He's had a great career. But It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit right now. And Nick, you and I talked about in a Hockey Central panel the day the deal was made. We said they're going to dread this deal before this is over. And you know what? That's where they are.
All right, we got to go.
Okay, we got to go.
Doug, are you playing golf or anything today? You don't look like you're in any attire. What's going on?
No, I'm playing golf tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. So nice. Playing rest Eagles Glen. Rest up, yeah. So, no, it's a relaxing day here. It was beautiful. I had a nice walk on the beach, and I'm just trying to enjoy retirement a little. We're getting ready to start an apartment building here, which I'm going to be busy with. So, I'm just trying to relax, you know.
Well, listen,
guys,
this is...
I really appreciate you having me on. It really breaks my day up, you know.
Well, listen, we appreciate this was a second consecutive week where you're not drinking wine on our show.
We're really stringing them together here.
Thanks for doing this, Mac.
Cut back. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right,
thanks,
Doug Mac. McClain. Working on another book, maybe. I don't know. He's thinking about it.
What does start an apartment building mean? He's just going to build an apartment building?
Yeah, he's got a business guy out there, and they own some land out in Summerside, and all he does is just... And then he comes on our show, and then he just tries to convince people to buy them.
Whatever. Let him hawk his wares. He gives us good airtime. Yes.
Peter J. Ravine was an Australian illusionist and hypnotist who performed mainly in Canada and particularly in Atlantic Canada. It was called Ravine the Impossibilist.
If you're an Australian illusionist who performs in Atlantic Canada, I want to know what happened in Australia.
I could tell you right now. I would watch a Netflix doc on Peter.
Ever been hypnotized? Sure. Have you been hypnotized?
No.
Have you watched?
Yeah,
Have you been hypnotized?
I hate not being in control.
Sure.
But I went up there, and then I found myself like halfway through and getting sucked in, and then I snapped myself out of it, and I couldn't do it.
I think it's gobbledygook. I don't think it ever worked. I think everyone who's ever done it is they're pretending. That's what I think.
That's my take on hypnotist.
You want to be hypnotized. You want to be, ooh, I don't think it works.
Oh, no, it works.
No, I don't think so. If there's one out there in the general area,
can you come down to One Mount Pleasant so we can put Sam under?
Are you surprised the guy who doesn't believe in migraines is anti-hypnosis as well?
Oh, boy. All right, God, I took some heat for that one. Of all the things I've said on this show, and there's been a lot of dumb stuff, the migraine stuff in the start of this playoffs, that was the worst
I took.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So, just looking at the line for tonight, as I pull it up here, Edmonton Oilers +110 in Dallas. Dallas -130. Having a hard time with this one. I think if Tanev doesn't play, I think +110 for the Oilers is a really good number. Yep. And even if he does play, I mean, there's a chance he's probably, not to play doctor here, but pretty hurt foot, potentially broken bones or a hairline fracture.
People are talking
or something
about a boot and,
you know, something's going bad there. If he plays, he's going to be compromised.
I saw the picture of him walking through the airport with a boot.
He wasn't a boot.
Yep. He was booting.
If he's out, Elliot Friedman shared a tweet where they said, from Sean Shapiro, Leon Bichelle told to be ready to play if Tanev can't go would be his NHL debut. Mm. So when you're talking about depth on your team, Dallas has an injury and needs a guy to make his NHL debut. So
that's a scary one for them.
He's huge though, apparently.
In that vein, Leon Draisaitl been an unbelievable playoff performer. And if they're going to win this game tonight on the road in a game five in the Final Four, I think he's going to have a huge game. So give me a Leon Draisaitl 3-point night at +525. I think he's going to light it up.
His playoff numbers are off the charts.
And that goal he scored on, what night was it, the last game they played, where he comes in from the hash marks, just beats one of the best goalies, clean, low blocker, and the crowd pop from the Oilers.
Yeah.
Like that was
Oilers fans have been MVPs here.
I've been seeing a lot of fight videos too. They're really horned up out there. Just each other. They're just horned up. They're ready to go. It's playoff hockey.
That ain't great.
It's amazing how fast people get their cameras out now.
Can't do anything.
Can't do a thing.
Yeah. Which, you know, in those settings isn't terrible.
I would never watch a fan fight video. That is way above.
Yeah, you watch two guys having coffee, though.
I'm joking. I would watch a fan fight. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break because we got to get back to text.
Text.
590-590. And this is the day we will read them, I promise you. And then we still have a little Paul Maurice clip on turnovers.
I also have, I don't know if you've heard or not.
Not the Wednesday bake.
I went to a big party last night and I had an interaction with somebody that has stuck to me still. And I want to tell the story on air because it's very interesting and I have to flesh it out.
What a hook.
Yeah, there you go.
People were just about to get out of their cars, too. Oh, yeah. But not with Sammy's.
Who did Sammy meet last night?
More from Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Derek Brandeo told me three times
he's
we're back.
At us.
Oh, just sitting here saying nothing.
Nothing. Just nothing.
The music's playing. It's fine.
All right.
Like Roger Ladraw used to say, play Stairway to Heaven twice and let's get out of here.
Love it.
So, Paul Maurice continues to entertain before the game, after the game, during the game. He has just turned himself into.
I just had to put
one must
in.
Follow.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm talking Paul Maurice.
I thought you were going to throw to the clip and I hadn't put it in the system yet. So
is it in now?
It is.
All right. Well, just give me your thoughts on Paul Maurice then.
He loves the smell of his own flatulence. Is that good enough for you?
I think that's pretty good.
Thanks.
I think that's a pretty fair comment. I will say there are worse odors. You know, the guy is entertaining as hell. I think he's a
but winning does like winning. You can get away with anything.
Yeah, and
right?
he's
it's that old Bull Durham line where it's like you got fungus on your shoes and you're a 20 game winner. Mm-hmm. You're colorful.
Yeah.
Right? You got fungus on your shoes and you can't win. You're like, get the fungus off your shoes, bud. You're a loser.
Yeah, I agree. I said as much in the, was it against Boston, where the series was tight and he was still kind of goofing around in one of those pressers. And I was like, it'll look bad if they lose that he's not like, you know, huffing and puffing. But hey, he's got his team in a good place. He's very confident in his team. And I think he is representative of the way that team feels. Like, they feel like they got this.
Okay, let's go to Paul Maurice on his thoughts on turnovers last night.
Paul, you guys, according to the stat sheet, had just one giveaway tonight. Is that something that you...
That is awesome.
Is that something
just
that...
Don't tell me Bobrovsky had it.
No. Do you want to know who was?
Yeah, who was it?
Ecky.
Oh, he's out.
Is that something that you guys talked about? Or, I mean, you were surprised by it, so I don't know if...
No, maybe... you know what? And to be fair, I don't follow the qualification of what a giveaway is. There were so many puck battles on the walls that I thought we had control of the puck that we didn't make a play, and it's into their feet, and then they get possession of it. I would count that as a giveaway. I think the change of possession... it's either forced or it's not in some ways. What am I trying to say? I think there's a hell of a lot more giveaways in that game for two coaches. And Ekblad's out.
So what he's really trying to say is like, okay, who's the guy counting giveaways?
But
like,
the thing,
if we watch the game last night, me and you right now for the next 2.5 hours,
right,
we're only going to see one giveaway?
No.
On a stat sheet?
Of course.
But doesn't that just throw analytics like right out the window? If this guy, like, what are you going for, popcorn during the game?
Well, I think it totally depends because there's like in-house people who do it and they're different by building. And then there's, you know, SportLogic has cameras.
Isn't the most important person? Isn't the most important person the guy that actually like hands out the game sheets after and then goes to Paul Maurice and says, hey, only one giveaway. You guys were awesome.
That's how much Paul Maurice takes it seriously. It doesn't mean anything to him.
you know, whatever.
He actually audibly chuckled at it.
What else can we take seriously if the out of the NHL arena, someone who's, I don't know, like, are they like gold judges in the 70s where they're all like 85 years old and they're like, where's the button to push?
Kind of, but the bigger thing is, like, those are really subjective. A shot on goal is not, a goal isn't, an assist isn't, you know, like a lot of stats aren't. A giveaway can be. Did he have solid possession before he turned it over? Maurice is talking about his own definition, but I do like that he's like, that means nothing to me.
All right.
That is awesome.
Let's do some text.
All right.
This one actually was sent to me by somebody, a YouTube comment. I would never dare to foray into any YouTube comments. It's a scary place. But a buddy of mine sent this one to me and said that you guys should read it on air. So I'm going to do it. Hey, boys, another great hour. I owe you guys a thank you. Since the start of the 23-24 season, I have listened and watched your show while working out. Treadmill and weights. Then the next day, I reverse it and do weights and treadmill. Long story short, I have lost 20 pounds since September, got my blood work done this week, and everything checks out. No red flags. PSA is at 0.7, and not bad for a 62-year-old.
Yes.
Love the
nice.
Show.
Love
so
that.
There you go.
Good hustle.
All right.
There you go.
So from here on in, we're just going to hear people going, I'm on the real Kipper and Bourne diet. What do you do? Why are you
Which,
looking
if
so
they
good?
Really knew it's five chocolates per show. I'm the real Kipper and Bourne diet.
I'm on the real
sour
Kipper
cream glaze before every show. That's what I do.
I'm on the RKB diet.
RKB, yeah, exactly. Were you going to tell us about your night last
I'll tell
night?
You at the end.
All right.
I'll save it for the end.
You're building this thing up, man.
Okay, I'll tell you right now.
You better not let us down.
I'll quickly tell it right now.
No, save it. Save it, because you're going to tell us it's going to be unbelievable.
It's
going to make or break our weekend.
Okay, good.
I can feel
it. That is awesome.
Derek, next up.
I saw Ravine, and my cousin went up. He claims he didn't get hypnotized, but he has no recollection of trying to take his clothes off, was an astronaut burning up on re-entry. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Tanev is playing possum. He's just keeping the Oilers guessing. Go, Oilers, go. So this guy saw some Ravine get his cousin.
DeVore did say he's optimistic. Taking the clothes off, I feel like that crosses line from hypnosis into illegal...
Ravine, what was it? Ravine?
That's why he left Australia. And he's in Atlantic Canada. He had some previous hypnoses gone wrong.
The impossible.
They were optimistic with... Rupe hints at the start, too, and he missed a couple of games, did he not?
Yeah.
His gamesmanship?
I don't know if it's gamesmanship.
Plan for him to be in?
I think it's...
Yeah.
If he does play, like, how effective is he going to be?
This is a text from Calgary. It's from a Calgary number, but there was no name, so... Gullitson ruined Bennett in YYC. Can you imagine Bennett sitting on the bench while Derek Ryan is taking power play time ahead of you? So, there you go.
Yeah, I brought this up with Doug McClain, where it's like, you know, where's that fine line when you watch a guy like that leave your program and then become like a powerhouse star in the playoffs?
It falls on you to recognize that ability. If you trade a guy who becomes great, it's on you for not seeing that or drawing it out of him.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's ultimate accountability.
Yeah, but he did want out. Bennett for whatever reason.
Yeah, he wasn't playing.
Would Kipper ever consider coaching an NHL team? Has anyone even asked you that? That's Mark.
Nothing seriously, no.
I imagine you've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
And since you left the NHL, you went right into it, right?
Right into the broadcasting. I took that little small break between 2019 for the pandemic. And then came back to you guys, which I'm still debating on whether or not it's a success or not.
The best thing that ever happened to us.
not a ton of people leave media. Like Keith Jones just became president. Berkey's come and gone. Paul Maurice did some media and went back.
Torts. Torts makes fun of the media every time. And then the second he's out of a job, he comes running back every time. But yeah, Torts.
You know, it's like anything else. So like... You know, there's a big difference between 30 and getting into it and, you know, me at mid-50s. Young mid-50s,
right,
by the way. Really
mid-50s.
Young. Really young. If it's...
You're heading for a special assistant to the general manager somewhere. That's the role you need.
That's part-time, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Part-time special assistant to the general manager.
I mean, almost lost you to the Zen.
Under the right circumstance, you know, it doesn't...
Money.
No, money, opportunity, but there's more, like, you know, if you can be part of something, grow something.
Yeah.
Just give me a chance. Give me a chance.
Well, if you do get that opportunity, you let us know. We're all moving to Utah or whatever.
I'm headed that way. Are we going to talk about how bad Pavelski and Suter have been in this series? Wow.
Well, Both of them played for Wisconsin against me in college in 2003.
Suter specifically is fighting it.
Joe's, what, 38?
Yeah, I would say that's
37?
Right. Yep.
Suter's been around a long time. I mean, they're still good players.
Yeah, like 39. He's 39.
That's
You can't count on those guys, though, to drive the bus. Like, their depth, their support, their experience. But you made a really good point that, like, Dallas isn't going to have Sagan
they
or Ben take over games. It's going to
No, they can't match Edmonton when it comes to, like, your frontline guys with experience and in their prime.
They're in
right
the prime
now, right?
of their primes.
Yeah,
Dreisaitl and McDavid
are probably the Oilers' biggest advantage. Yeah. The best players in the series are
so
at the
there
best
are sometimes,
age to be doing
there, there are times when you watch Dallas and you're like, no one's touching the depth here, right? Yeah. And then there's other times when you're like, Pavelski, where's that impeccable timing in front of the net for a redirect? Yeah.
Got to get there. You got to win battles, and
it's not there right now.
Boy, that +110 Oilers number you mentioned. Now that
not the worst number.
Chat.
So when Dallas was up 2-0, did you go a little heavy on Edmonton? Because I would imagine the numbers would have been pretty good.
Yeah, I don't. Do you remember what that game looked like when Dallas was up 2-0?
Yeah.
I wasn't touching the Oilers.
No,
at that point. No,
I would have been maybe done them -4.5 or something. Yeah. The Stars at that point.
Credit to the Oilers for pulling it together.
All right, do you want to hear the story?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so I was getting in the elevator to leave the party, and
last night.
Yes, I would say that I was sufficiently lubricated.
Okay,
nothing crazy.
Yep.
And don't want to make Sportsnet look bad, but had a few high noons. Get in the elevator with a couple people that I know, and one guy that kind of like I kind of recognized him. He had a media pass or whatever, and you were able to get your jerseys customized, so you could got your name put on it, you could get a player's name put on it, you could get whatever you want put on it. My wife got something put on the back of hers. We were chatting about what you could get on the back of the jersey. And this guy behind me goes to me, maybe you should have got 0 effing IQ on the back of yours.
Ooh.
And it hit me like a load of bricks. Like, it was a right cross, and it's a full elevator full of people that, like, I kind of knew, and I'd had a few, you know, bevies, and I didn't retort. I didn't react. I couldn't dig into the hamster wheel to have something to say back.
But it was someone you knew.
And I didn't know who it was, but according to some sources in the elevator, I figured out who it was.
Dan Tolman.
No, it wasn't Dan Tolman.
Wasn't our boss?
No, it wasn't any bosses. Okay. But I know who it is. So I'm not going to say who it is, but I know who it is.
It's a media member?
It's a media member. It covers the Toronto Blue Jays. I know who it is.
For us?
No.
Oh, it's Jeff Blair.
But I get told I'm an idiot all the time on the internet, like constantly.
Yeah.
But having a guy hit you with a right cross while you're in the elevator with him.
Are you still hot about it right now?
Oh, buddy, I've been practicing my comebacks on me all day.
Well, the jerk store called.
I haven't been able to.
They're running out of you.
Boys, I haven't been able to shake it. I'm talking about it on the show. He owned me.
That's unbelievable.
He's the Bruins to my Leafs. He got me.
That's great.
There you go.
You know what? I don't know what I would do.
In that moment,
I don't know.
Well, you don't really anticipate being so blatantly attacked.
I was just shocked by it.
Your first tendency is kind of to laugh, assuming he's not being a jerk.
You can't go wrong with bite me.
I wish I just had it. It's been like, you're a loser.
Hey.
Like, just something quick and to the point, but I just didn't have it. Yeah. I didn't have it. Top one voice.
Hey.
Yeah.
You're still young. You just give me a couple more years to work with you. I'll get you there.
Yeah, I got to work on my comebacks a little bit more. I'll hit the mirror.
All right.
No, you're an idiot. So there you go,
Maybe
boys.
He was just talking about our whole show.
No.
What's so funny, giggly bits?
All right. As promised, fastest hour in hockey is now over.
Yep.
Our thanks to Doug McLean, always on Friday. He doesn't disappoint, eh?
No. And Doug wasn't even going anywhere today. Had his full attention.
Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be absolutely brilliant.
Oh, if you see me at the Canadian Open, stop me and say hello. Love CNSF.
And mention his IQ. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we're back on Monday.